You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website. It's a convenient place to find all of the wonderful content from around the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, make sure to check out, after you're done listening to this show, the Locked On NBA podcast. It is a terrific way to get ready for NBA teams around the league, get recent updates, injury news, all that good stuff, keep you up to date on the league you love to watch so very much. Today we're going to be previewing the Pelicans game. It's a special game because Robert Covington and Darius Saric are playing this game. They're both listed as on the injury report as they should be active. They should be taking the floor for the first time as Minnesota Timberwolves. And here to help me prepare you for all that is the Timberwolves action tonight, Trey Flynn. He is a co-editor and social media director over at Dunking with Wolves. And you know what? I couldn't think of anyone better than one of the guys over at the Dunking with Wolves site to help me get ready for this game. Trey, thank you so much for making your Locked On Wolves debut right as Covington and Saric are making their Timberwolves debut.
Yeah, thanks for having me in. Been listening to Locked On Wolves for quite a while, so I'm really excited to get going on this. And I'm really excited to see how Saric and Covington fit in their first new lineup with the Wolves tonight.
As am I. Now, we talked about this a little bit the other day on the show, but I really think that there's a great opportunity here for this to work out really well. I like the fact that you kind of have two guys coming in Dario and Robert, who take different kinds of shots. I think that Wiggins is more of a guy that gets to the basket, gets to the rim, more of an intermediate shooter, not too much of a three-point shooter. You have Towns, who's pretty versatile. He can play pretty much anywhere, but obviously a bigger guy. His best areas are in the post. And then you've got guys like Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague. They're going to be playing off guys and cutting more than anything else. I think that there's a really great opportunity for new talent to come in and to not be playing over the top of somebody else's shot, but to really carve out their own spot on this team. What do you think about the additions, and is this going to be more of a seamless transition, or do you expect some growing pains throughout the first couple of weeks here?
Well, with any new deal, I think growing pains are to be expected, but out of all the prospective deals that we heard about or that were rumored, this one seemed like one of the better ones, along with that Josh Richardson deal with Miami. So I'm really happy that Robert Covington and Dario ultimately came to Minnesota. Kind of going off what you said, not just having talent, but more talent has been really important to Minnesota. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. I've heard you say on the show multiple times how their defense is atrocious. I completely agree. I think they have one of the worst, if not the worst, defensive ratings in the league. Some of the worst defensive efficiency all around. And while some players like Derrick Rose have had a great start to the season, incredible start to the season offensively, we definitely need some defensive help in the backcourt and against the wings. And I think Robert Covington definitely helps that, especially with Jimmy Butler missing a lot of games this year, not being able to help in that situation. So having Covington on the team, whether it's in the starting lineup or as a backup, definitely helps a lot. I think Saric ultimately brings a lot of different things to the table, whether he's a spot-up shooter or he's a great facilitator. And even Saric at the four can cut really well. He just gives us more options. And I think the Timberwolves moving forward, the only way they can look at the playoffs this year is if they become more versatile and if they don't take that same old boring scheme with Tom Thibodeau. And we know he does like to use his normal 8-to-9-man rotation. I think he has to switch it up this season. I was listening to your last pod, and you were talking about the different lineups, the different rotations. And I think tonight that'll be the most interesting thing to see pre-games, to see how Thibodeau starts the lineup off tonight. It'll be interesting to see if he brings Covington Saric off the bench or if he starts him right away. So it'll be really interesting to see that tonight.
Yeah, and there's a couple things that you mentioned there. First of all, defense. I do think that steals is kind of the not the way out here, or capitalizing in turnovers and steals isn't the way out necessarily for the Timberwolves, but it's a way to mask some of their problems. And Robert Covington having one of his better years, averaging almost 3 steals per game this year as far as what he's averaged over his career, one of his better years in that category. And then just as far as long guys, if they can just try and clog up some stuff, try and make it tougher on teams to just get passes through lanes and find openings, long guys are definitely going to help that. If you're not going to play good defense, at least make it difficult somewhat on the other team with length and size. So hopefully that is accomplished there. I did want to ask you, as far as lineups for these guys, kind of telegraphing a little bit past this game, what do you see as kind of the potential for how these guys can fit in? And is the addition of these guys maybe the opportunity that we've been hoping for to push Tibbs into more of a creative mindset as a coach?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many different things I can do with this lineup. I mean, ultimately, you're probably going to see Derrick Rose or Jeff Teague get that point guard spot. But just the idea of having Wiggins and Covington play at that 2 and 3 position and switching between there, that's a lot of length right there, right away. And defensively, that helps. Even if Wiggins isn't the best defensive player, if he has the size, it's a mismatch for the other team. So that's always great. And having the ability to jump between whether it's Gibson, Saric, or even Tolliver at that stretch four or that power four with Gibson, that's a great thing to have. You know, sometimes having more options is worse, and in this case, having more options is definitely better for the Wolves. You just need to be able to help Towns defensively too. So having a couple longer guys in that lineup would definitely be key. I ultimately would love to see a Rose, Wiggins, Covington, Saric, Towns lineup. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I 100% agree with that. I think that would be awesome. Not to try and cast some gloom over any of this, but there's always excitement around new players joining a team. Is there any reservations for you about these guys joining the team and what it means for Josh Okogie's minutes? Because I got to tell you, I know that he hasn't been exactly lighting it up offensively, but there are times that he has turned around momentum with his play on offense because of those transition buckets, those big slam dunks going coast to coast quickly on a team. He's such a great athlete. He's doing some really good things defensively, even if he's only averaging around 9-10 points a game. Are you worried about his minutes taking a serious hit with these two guys joining the team? And if so, is there a solution there?
I'm not necessarily worried. It kind of just comes with being a rookie. Okogie has definitely shown promise this season with being a difference maker coming off the bench or even in the starting lineup. I'd like to see him come off the bench and continue to play at his, I think he's averaging around 25 minutes a game. I think that's obviously going to decrease to around 15 to 18 minutes a game. I don't think necessarily that's going to stunt his potential. I think he is a workaholic. I mean, he just seems like a defensive threat. He just seems like he always keeps the ball moving. I think Timberwolves are the fourth in pace in the NBA, and he was a big reason of that while we're moving up this season. He just keeps the tempo up, and he's a great player to have off the bench, especially with Minnesota, who has one of the worst benches in the league when it comes to statistics. So I would love to see Okogie and Tyus Jones really bring this bench back to better days. So, and if that takes bringing Covington off the bench, then so be it. And then we could see a nice backup lineup there too. But I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think it's really, we need to start getting Covington and Sarge implemented in this team, get them playing tonight, and start seeing where their role could be, where they could go from here on out. And I think one to watch is Dario Saric, because it's been reported that Saric really wants to start. And in the past, he started with Covington a lot with Philadelphia. I think 70% of their minutes together were when they were both on the court. So it'll be interesting to see if Thibodeau ultimately decides to bring those two off the bench or in the starting lineup, especially if Saric wants that start. So I don't think we can look too much into the Okogie stuff right now. I think down the road this season, we can definitely talk more about giving him more minutes. So
that would be just going to Saric's. If he can start with Covington, that would add a level of familiarity maybe right away in the lineup, maybe two guys starting together, maybe some chemistry instantly right there to kind of help them leap out to a successful start here in Minnesota. Turning to the immediate game, the Pelicans are in town. They're averaging 118.3 points per game. They're one of the third best offense in points per game. I feel like the Timberwolves managed to catch offenses when they're peaking at certain points, because it seemed like just last week when the Kings and the Lakers were averaging the third and fourth most points in the NBA is when the Timberwolves played them. So just luck of the draw here for the Timberwolves to grab these teams when they're fiery red hot. Obviously with the Pelicans, you've got Anthony Davis, but you've also got guys like Jrue Holiday, Mirotić, Julius Randle, who I love Julius Randle. I know that some people are really high on him, some people are really low on him. I really love Julius Randle. I feel like this is a really good team, and this is one of those teams that could surprise the Timberwolves a little bit. The Timberwolves kind of worked the Pelicans last year every time they played them, and I feel like this year, with just some of the length they have combined with the dominance that Anthony Davis has been playing at, the dominant level he's been hitting, they could kind of catch the Timberwolves off guard, maybe swing a couple haymakers at them right away and have them on their heels in that first quarter. Do you anticipate a start like that? And if so, how do the Timberwolves kind of bounce back into this game and try and find themselves at home against a really tough opponent when they've got all this new stuff and all these new elements in play for this game?
Yeah, I mean, going off of all that, I mean, that's a lot to take in. It's difficult because ultimately I think, and it's kind of hard to say this with only being the 15th game of the year, but I would call this the first must-win game of the season for the Timberwolves. I think that if your goal is to make the playoffs with not taking a draft, that trade for draft picks from Houston, I think Tom Thibodeau, Glenn Taylor and Scott Layden ultimately told the fans and media that they're wanting to win right now. And so if that's the goal, then you have to make this must-win game. The Pelicans are going to be battling for the 8th, 7th seed, just like the Timberwolves will be. And they have a very similar team where their team is surrounded by their all-star superstar center and Anthony Davis, like Karl Anthony Towns for the Wolves. And they have a lot of length, and that's what the Timberwolves are going to try to present tonight too. I hope obviously I hope for the best of health for Nikola Mirotic, but I'm hoping he doesn't play tonight. I mean, he's questionable, and if that ends up going through of him not playing, then you'll probably see Etuan Moore, Julius Randle, Jrue Holiday, Anthony Davis, and most likely Wesley Johnson at that wing position. And if that's the case, I'd like to see Andrew Wiggins find some real efficient shots tonight. I know that's a lot to ask from Wiggins for what his passes look like with efficient shooting, but I think if his matchup is Wesley Johnson, we got to be looking at Wiggins this game to really step up. I can already expect a pretty good game from Towns and Davis, as they've had really great matchups throughout their careers together. And if Rose and Jeff Teague can try to hold back Holiday and Etuan Moore as best they can, I really like to see Wiggins come through tonight.
Wiggins has been playing better. I will say this about the turbulent guard for the Timberwolves. I know that last year was rough, and I know that I had been going to bat for him for a while last year before I finally started really going in and critiquing his game. So maybe take this with a grain of salt, but he's been playing markedly better this year. And I look to his steals, 1.7 career high. He's averaging a career low in turnovers. He's shooting 41% from the field. He's shooting 77% from the free throw line, which is a career best, 41% from the three-point line, career best. I think he's just – and when you're looking at some of these percentages, the way he's shooting, the steals, I think he's just playing a little more free-flowing, a little looser. I don't think he's white-knuckling the basketball. I don't think he's overthinking stuff like I feel like he was last year. And again – I'm not trying to dish out too many excuses. When you pay somebody a max contract, you kind of expect him to compensate and grow and change throughout the season and not have the same problems for 82 games. But Jimmy Butler, the bad scary man is gone for Wiggins. Jimmy Butler is out. I think that he's playing a little more free-flowing, a little more loose. Even at the beginning of the season when Jimmy Butler was here, I was saying that I think that this – I mean, I don't want to get ahead of my skis here, but I think there is potential for a real turnaround season here for Wiggins, because not only is he shooting so efficiently. I mean, I know he's not averaging a crazy amount of points at 16.6, but he's doing the 16 points. He's getting the 16 points on way more efficient basketball, and he's doing more on defense. is there, I think that there's potential to get excited about this year for Wiggins.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And which would be big in this game.
I'm one of the biggest critics of Andrew Wiggins out there, as I know, I think we both are probably. Most Timberwolves analysts are some of the biggest critics of Andrew Wiggins. But I do respect the fact that Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns both know their role. And I would also hope that that's what the Timberwolves go down. They go down that road this season of knowing their roles. And I think that's really, really important for the Wolves to kind of build their new foundation without Jimmy Butler, is knowing your role. And I think the best organizations in the NBA, going from the San Antonio Spurs to the Boston Celtics, Los Angeles Lakers, there's always teams that have players that know their roles. And I think Andrew Wiggins has to be one of those players. And I think he's finally fitting into that mold, not trying to do too much and not trying to do too little. And I think he's trying to find a good balance there. And I'm hoping he can really have one of his first big games tonight. And we have seen him put up 20 and a couple steals a couple times this year, but I'm hoping he gets a little more out of that matchup against Wesley Johnson tonight. But kind of going more off the Pelicans too, I think it's important to note that they are one of the worst teams playing away in the NBA, and the Timberwolves are 5-1 at home. Even though the Pelicans came away with a win against Toronto, which is really impressive the other night, and holding Kawhi Leonard to, I think it was like 4-for-16 of shooting, which is terrible. They really played extremely well on the road in Toronto. So that's something to look at as well, because they've won three games in a row. But Timberwolves are 5-1 at home, and I would expect guys like Wiggins and, of course, Towns to really step up tonight.
I like those home versus away stats. Hopefully that'll rear its head again for the Pelicans. I like that you brought up knowing your roles for Wiggins and Towns. I want to get to that in a second, but let's get to some predictions here for this game. Vegas has the over-under set at 230.5 for this game, and Minnesota is the one-point favorite. I have this one. I actually don't think that I've been tracking the over-unders throughout pretty much the entire season for the NBA. Just it's been fascinating with pace and everything like that, how the numbers have kind of exploded, and seeing the numbers go up and down to try and compensate for the ridiculous amount of pace in the NBA. I actually, though, the 230.5, I don't think is too far off. I think this game probably ends up being like a 125-118 game. I do see the Timberwolves taking this one. I just think Towns, he seems most games, I know it's not every game, but he seems most games to get into this zone of kind of the FU zone against Anthony Davis, especially now that people are kind of down on Towns recently. And so I think that this could be another really – he had the big game against Brooklyn. I think this could be another game where he just really goes off and there's a fire underneath him, and he ends up going for like 30-18 with a 3 or 4 blocks mixed in there. And so – I like Towns to be big in this one. I think that the guards for the Timberwolves are going to have problems. Jrue Holiday was really good defensively last year, and I know they lack Rondo this year, but I think that the guards potentially could have some trouble with the defensive backcourt of the Pelicans. So I expect a bigger night for the front court. I think Covington could actually get this home crowd started up. I don't know how many points he's going to have. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, but I think a couple key threes from him will get this crowd fired up, and I think that that's just going to add more space for Towns down low to really make some hay. So I anticipate a big night from him and a win for the Timberwolves. What says you, Trey?
I completely agree. I think that ultimately Minnesota has more health in this game. I don't think Mirotić or Elfrid Payton will play tonight, from what I'm hearing. And also, I would think that Karl-Anthony Towns does blow up tonight. I mean, he's played 4 games without Jimmy Butler, and he's averaging 27-12, shooting 53%. Those are sick numbers. And when you're going against Anthony Davis, a superstar, top 5, top 10 player in the league, showing up would probably be goal number one, especially when you've been one of the more criticized 23-year-olds in the world. Which doesn't seem fair from my perspective, but we can get into that another time. But I mean, ultimately, Towns, this team, they have more depth tonight. They have more health tonight. I think they get the win. I like the spread at 230. That's a pretty good one. Both of these teams are bottom five teams defensively, but also top 10 in pace. So I definitely agree with you that this will be a high scoring game, but I stick with the 230. I think that you'll see a lot of defense from Jrue Holiday on Derrick Rose, and trying to hold him from scoring 20 points. The one guy to watch out for, like I said, the one guy to watch out for on the Timberwolves would be Andrew Wiggins, but one guy I'd watch out for on the Pelicans would be Etuan Moore, who scored 30 points last game against Toronto, which is very good. 13 of 18 shooting, which is Not the normal Etuan Moore, but he's had a really efficient season. I think he's shooting 47% from three, 58% field goal percentage, and I think he even has 64% from efficiency, which is top five in shooting guards in the league. So watch out for Etuan Moore. Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose oftentimes lack on deeps on defense, and if Andrew Wiggins can somehow pull over from Johnson on Moore, you could see a pretty good matchup between those two tonight.
We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about what are expectations for the Timberwolves. First, some sponsors. We've been talking about the Pelicans, about the new additions for the Timberwolves. Trey, now it's time to get to a little bit. I know this could be an hour-long conversation, but we're just going to try and quickly describe what are some realistic expectations for this Timberwolves. The other day I was talking about this a little bit. The way I see it, if this team is as creative as I hope they could be, as creative as, say, maybe if you and I were on the coaching staff, not to give ourselves too much credit, but if they are that level of creative and really play around with these lineups over the next couple of weeks, really understand and figure out what they have as far as their who should be the starters, what their bench looks like, how to play guys the best fits for all of these players, and how to make them the most successful possible, I still see this as a playoff team. I still see this as a team that could grab a sixth seed to an eighth seed somewhere in there. And I truly believe that they could push for the playoffs. If you see Towns access the side of Towns that you saw in December or in that week stretch when they were playing the Warriors and the Wizards and a couple other teams when Butler was out, the Hawks was another one of those teams. When Butler was out at the end of last year, if he accesses that blue chip kind of mentality that he has consistently throughout the rest of the year, and if they're creative as a coaching staff with the roster, I think this is a playoff team. Am I being too ambitious?
No, I don't think you're being ambitious at all. I think you're going to see probably a similar team to the Wolves you saw last year, even without the four-time All-Star and Jimmy Butler. The only thing I could see that would hinder the Timberwolves' future success this year or making the playoffs would just be the Western Conference keeping up what they're doing right now. And it's just been insane. I think there's eight teams with seven or eight wins. The Timberwolves are the 14th seed in the West in front of the Suns, which is not a good look. And of course, they're not going to stay there, but it's just going to be a hard road. And that's why I call this game a must win, the earliest must win thus far this season. Because they're playing the Pelicans four times, and they're going to be definitely in that 6th to 8th seed range, New Orleans is. And Minnesota's definitely going to have to fight for that position, that standing. You're going to see teams like Memphis and Sacramento, who are the 7th and 8th seed, respectively, most likely fall out of that and become average teams like how we thought they were going to be. But that 6th, 7th, 8th seed is definitely going to be the target for Minnesota this season. And as for the lineup and how to get there, I think definitely the position to watch will be the power forward position. I like the idea of using Sarge there. I like the idea of keeping Gibson there, who's been pretty consistent, one of our more consistent players this season and last season. But I also like the idea of toying with it a little bit, maybe throwing Covington out there at the stretch four. I know that Philadelphia has just decided today that they're starting Wilson Chandler at the four and Jimmy Butler at the three, which is kind of what the NBA is moving to anyways, which I think if people have been keeping up with basketball the past few years, that's what they're moving to, is that small point forward. And I think that if we can mess with the lineup a bit, we could see some future small ball out there with Covington at the four. And so those kind of lineups and that kind of creativity, that's going to keep Tom Thibodeau his job, which we know he wants to keep, and get the Timberwolves to the playoffs for the second year in a row and, create this new foundation of playoffs, which, we are in a 14-year drought. So we want to keep up this, tendency to make playoffs. And to do that, you have to be creative. And unfortunately, we don't have a four-time All-Star anymore, so we have to be creative with this roster and this lineup, especially in the Western Conference. So,
exactly. And as far as guys like Taj Gibson, I think he's one of those guys that really benefits from playing him smart minutes, not a bulk of minutes. I think that he's better in a role where you're playing him 20 minutes as opposed to 33. I believe he was just 32.4, 33.5, something like that last year was his average. I mean, he performed really well doing that, but I don't think you want to ask him to do that a bunch of years. And I think that he's far better in a role where he's coming in for 20 minutes, and I think that he can still be a key player there. But I also think that it is so beneficial to throw out a couple different lineups. I want to see more lineups with two guards. I really like the way that Teague and Rose played off each other last night against Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, Rose against Brooklyn was really effective. Sometimes I do think that we give maybe too much freedom to shoot too many shots, and then I have to look back on Halloween and realize that he scored 50 points in game, so what do I know? But I think ultimately we're going to have to fall on Rose to get 15 shots a game and hopefully score between 18 and 20 points a game. I know he's averaging close to 20 right now. And you're just going to have to hope, you know, Wiggins knows his role with his 17 points a game. A guy to watch definitely is Jeff Teague now that he's back. And hopefully Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose can play that two-guard lineup. And that's definitely something that not a lot of fans, I think, understand, because they think playing two point guards, how can you possibly do that? But Derrick Rose has never been a facilitator first. He's always been a scoring guard first and having a scoring mentality. And Jeff Teague is a perfectly fine facilitator, just having 11 assists last game. He's averaging 7.5, which is top 10 in the NBA in point guards. So they're totally fine with playing Rose at the shooting guard. And the only things that I'd watch out for would be defensively. Offensively, like I've already said, one of the best teams in the league. So it's just defense we got to watch out for. And when you're playing against guards that are feeling high, like Ejuan Moore tonight, or even Jrue Holiday, who's, you know, most likely going to be an all-star this season, you really got to watch the defensive lapses on Teague and Rose's side tonight.
Well, and too, I think there's a way, if you're doing two point guards, to throw Tyus Jones out there with maybe a Derrick Rose, compensate a little bit defensively, because we know how good he is around the basketball, both on defense and offense, getting turnovers and then being careful never to create a turnover on his side. So I think that there's something to be said about playing maybe with Tyus Jones, one of those two point guards you throw out there as well. But a lot of interesting stuff you can do with this lineup. I wanted to quickly, before we head out here, get to something you mentioned earlier, knowing their roles, Wiggins and Towns. Towns taking a lot of heat for not really stepping up and not really demanding the role of vocal leader, or really stepping up as the guy who it sounds like is going to be the vocal leader. Sounds like Derrick Rose is more the guy who's going to fill that role in their locker room. While I understand the criticism around that, in that he's a young max player who you kind of want to take over this franchise, I feel like he's one of those guys. I don't think that it's necessarily a statement about his play. I still think he's a vicious player. I still think he's got that step on their throat mentality. And I think Wiggins has some of that too. Really cutthroat, go for the jugular kind of playmaking. I just don't know if both of those guys, it shows up vocally. And while I think some things that I've heard, it is some fair criticism of your young stars to maybe not want to step up vocally yet in the locker room, I think there's far more value to knowing exactly what you do well and exactly how you lead well, rather than somebody trying to be something they're not on a team that's still trying to figure itself out a little bit.
Right. You there's something to be said about guys not trying too much to win games. And oftentimes that gets, you know, lost. And fans talking about how they love how players go full out, like Jimmy Butler, who don't care about anything and just go hard all the time. And there is something to be said about guys who kind of, you know, are in the shadows doing their jobs and doing what needs to be done to be effective and efficient and get the job done. You know, one of the best teams to look at, like I said before, was the San Antonio Spurs organization. Even when they were winning championships, there wasn't necessarily the vocal leader on that team. It was guys doing their jobs, and you happen to have guys who also were, you know, perennial Hall of Famers. And obviously that's not the Timberwolves, but if you can get to that kind of culture in Minnesota, I think that's probably the best case scenario. And another way to explain that too would be the camaraderie on the team without Jimmy Butler. I mean, this past game was a really bad example because of Karl-Anthony Towns' 10 turnovers. But if you have that not happen, you have the Timberwolves are a top five team in the least amount of turnovers per game. If you have that kind of team unity there, and you have guys knowing their jobs, then you're ultimately going to succeed down the road. And if they want to become a playoff team, I think that's what their new foundation and culture has to be. It doesn't have to be just gritty defensive and get a lot of steals. It has to be know your role, know your job, and we'll be okay. We'll ride along together.
Couldn't agree more. Trey, before we head out here, what are some articles that you have out coming recently? Anything that you want to plug, do so right now.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can follow me at Trey Flynn NBA, or follow Dunking with Wolves on Twitter. I have a couple pieces being worked on right now about past Jimmy Butler trades that could have happened, how Covington can maybe play the four coming up pretty soon. So if you want to check that out, you can just go to DunkingWolves.com. Check out my team. We have a great team there. And keep listening to Colton here in Locked On Wolves. It's a great channel. It's one of it's the number one channel I listen to for Timberwolves news. And thank you for having me on, Colton.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it so much. We're not going to get into Jimmy Butler trades on the show. Otherwise, I will just go off about Josh Richardson and what could have been. And I'll make myself mad. I'll make myself mad, and we don't need that before we play the Pelicans. Thank you very much to Trey for coming on. Make sure you check out his content at Dunking with Wolves. And thank you so much to everyone for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.